ready.
Man, this whole society got our women looking at themselves crazy, man. Can you imagine if a dude was walking around talking about he didn't want to wear a pair of khakis because it made his dick look big, man?
For real talk.
You ain't ready for the relationship your grandmother and granddaddy had. You ready to leave your dude if he don't text you back fast enough.
All the time.
And see, that's what's so crazy to me, right? Because you can be against police brutality and not want cops to die. The two ideas ain't mutually exclusive.
Welcome to the Span Report with your host, Mr. Span.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Span Report Podcast. I'm your host, Mr. Span. This is episode number 148 of the report, and we are here with some very special guests, man. Real talk, I got two of my favorite podcasters on here right now with me. I got Rod and Karen of the Black Guy Who Tips Podcast here on the Span Report. Say what's up to the people, fam.
How y'all doing?
Black history.
Yes, indeed, man. Yes, indeed, man. We got a lot to talk about. Let me see if I can pull these guys up so you can see them on the video. And there they go. Yeah, man, we got a lot going on, man. We got free college going on in Detroit. We got the Image Awards popping off, man. We got the Dearborn police letting people walk up in they headquarters with guns and shit, and they live to tell a story. We got special hotep news, man. We got asshats and champs of the week going on. All of that tonight here on the Span Report Podcast, man. But before we get into all of that, of course, I got to let you guys know how to get in touch with me here at the Span Report and let your voice be heard. You can hit me up at the hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave those voicemail messages. I play them on the show, respond in kind. You can also call the show live when I open up those phone lines, man. So save that phone number and join us while we're doing the show live, man. Real talk. Also, email me at feedback@thespanreport.com. That's feedback@thespanreport.com. All of those emails will get read live here on the show as well. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram. My name on both of those platforms, Mr_Span, so we can chop it up throughout the week. Subscribe to the show on YouTube, man. Catch the show live. Be a part of the chat room. See everything that's going on. Call the show live. All of that shit, man. Go ahead, do that. Subscribe to the show on YouTube at The Span Report on YouTube, man. Go ahead, do that. And for all of your Span Report needs, go to www.thespanreport.com. Everything's available there. The podcasts are available there. Every episode, videos, all of that stuff, man. Polls, comments, do everything at www.thespanreport.com. And before we get away from that, tell them how to get in touch with you guys over there at The Black Guy Who Tips, man.
You can find us at theblackguywhotips.com. You can also find us on iTunes and Stitcher. Just search The Black Guy Who Tips. You can follow us on social media. I'm Rodimus Prime on Twitter.
I'm Say That Again. That is in D-A-T.
And our show's social media account is TVGWT on pretty much every platform.
Yes, indeed, man. Yes, indeed. Now, I say this, and I say this genuinely. These two are some of your favorite podcasters' favorite podcasters. Like, real talk. They have introduced me to so many other different podcasts, man, podcasts that I may not have been, you know, privy to or aware of beforehand, before listening to them. They've kind of spearheaded a lot of, they like pioneers in this game, man. Real talk, they are some of the hardest working podcasters in this game, man. You guys are what, 1300 episodes in, man, on just the regular feed?
Yep.
Yeah, man. So like, it's a lot. It's a lot. And I listen every day, and I implore everybody else to listen as well, man. Real talk. But what's going on with y'all? How y'all feeling this evening?
Good.
Yeah, I'm feeling great, man. Nothing going on. Just enjoying this Black History Month. Mm-hmm.
And The Walking Dead is coming back tonight.
Come on.
The Walking Dead is coming back tonight, man. So I'm a little excited about that as well. And I can't wait to see how Rick and the crew kind of like deals with Negan this month, man. Like, oh, I just want to see somebody die. Is that is that so wrong, man? Am I the only one who feels like a bit of a monster after watching this show for so long? Like, yo, I really wish somebody died today.
I'm ready to see everybody get back in formation, man. Like, we spent a lot of the first half of this season with everybody kind of breaking down and figuring out why they couldn't fight, and now it's time to fight back.
Yeah, it's definitely time for that, man. I can't wait to see it. I think it comes on, what, to 9 o'clock tonight?
Mm-hmm.
Good. So we're gonna definitely catch up on that. But yeah, man, like I said, we got you know, quite a few different things that we're gonna talk about today. One of the first things that kind of caught my eye earlier this week, man, was the fact that in my very own city, man, in Detroit, there is now a Detroit Promise. All of the kids who go to a Detroit public or charter school now have the ability to go to any of the 5 Detroit area community colleges for free. They don't have to pay a dime for it. And that actually starts this year. So like all of the high school seniors have until June 30th to apply for this, for these funds, man. And, yo, man, I'm excited. I'm excited about it, especially when we talk so much about the burdening cost of higher education for so many students. To have this sort of thing available is nothing but a boon for that.
Yeah, and to see a state do it, you know, when the United States couldn't, you know, because a lot of times states are like a good trial run for these things. So if there are any problems with it, maybe we'll find out, you know, via this process. And if there aren't any problems, maybe we can mirror that for all the entire country.
Yeah, and you know what? This isn't the first time this has happened in Michigan. I think Kalamazoo, Michigan also had the Kalamazoo Promise, where the kids in that school district as well, if they were to go to any state school, had the ability to go to that school and have their entire education paid for through private funds. I believe there was a private donator who put forth the money on that, and it's one of those things, man, where I kind of think about, like, especially when we talk about like the priorities of just like America, period. And here we have, like, say for instance, Donald Trump advocating for a border wall that could run to the tune of $20 billion, and that is his biggest priority. And yet we could be using those funds towards the education of our kids. And it's just funny how we prioritize a lot of these things.
Yeah, especially considering Michigan's the same state as, like, you know, Flint is in there. So it's like you got kids that's going to be able to go to school free, but then you got kids that can't even have clean drinking water. It's just, you know, complex situation.
Yes, yeah, it's screwed up all across the board. And like I said, like, even with this, it's like it's only certain pockets of Michigan that are allowing, you know, that kind of got this thing going on. Now, I know there's in Tennessee is also, I believe it's Chattanooga, Tennessee is also picking up the tab for community college for a lot of their kids to go to community college. And like I said, man, if you think about it, if they go to the community college for 2 years and they don't have to pay for 2 years, they got an associate's degree. Now they only got 2 more years to pay for if they do decide to go to, you know, a 4-year college or university, and they're not saddled with the amount of debt that they would have been had they gone to school and had to take out the amount of student loans it would have taken them to complete those degrees, man.
Yeah, and something else that they don't really talk about. Even all of us went to college.
Yeah.
calls has almost quadrupled from where we went. And most of us in our 30s and 40s are still paying off those student loans.
Yep.
Imagine double or triple or quadruple, depending on what university you go to, those costs. And now you have more and more students, once they graduate, they're actually staying at home now until their 30s. You know, and people go, what's wrong with them? I was like, well, you're already in a house debt without a house. You're already in a car debt without a car, that you would never ride and never own. You have nothing to show but debt. And then people don't talk about how you have a lot of people. The millennial generation is the most educated generation ever. But a lot of them work at jobs where they're overqualified, because a lot of times people don't want to pay. They want to pay for experience, but not degrees.
Yeah.
And the thing is, like, I didn't go straight through to become a doctorate to turn around and get a job as an associate. You know, I want my money to match my pay. So you have a lot of people that have hundreds and thousands of dollars of worth of debt loan with jobs that will depend on what they're doing and stuff like that. They will never pay it off within a reasonable amount of time.
Yeah, it's crazy. I think I still got like maybe $20,000 left on my student loans from when I was in school. I haven't been in school in what, 15, 16 years. So it's amazing. You know, like I said, the whole thing for me is the ability for these kids to go to school and have, you know, the ability to do it and not have the financial burden that a lot of us have been saddled with, you know, going forward. It's kind of exciting, especially since my daughter is getting older. Her birthday is tomorrow. It's exciting for me to be able to, like, hey, baby, here's an option for you. You know, that's the biggest thing. But going forward, man, we got something else, man. Hidden Figures and Fences kind of won big at the Image Awards the other night, man. And it's one of those things, man. It was like, finally, there is more than one project for folks to get behind, man. Like, I was kind of thinking about how, like, for a long time last year, everybody was kind of, well, not everybody, but a lot of folks were looking at The Birth of a Nation as if it were the only thing going that black right. folks had to get behind. And Hidden Figures and Fences kind of, you know, kind of obliterated that line of thinking. Like, they came out, not only were they good productions, but they were also critically and commercially acclaimed. And it was good to see Hidden Figures and Fences be honored in the way that they were. It was kind of conspicuous, though, that The Birth of a Nation was not honored much at all during the Image Awards. And one of the things I wanted to ask you guys, whether or not you thought that the controversy surrounding Nate Parker had anything to do with the fact that they didn't get much acclaim at those Image Awards the other night.
Man, it's hard to say because I didn't see the movie. So, you know, I don't want to speculate on the quality of the movie, really. Although the people I've trusted that have seen it have all had, like, you know, either most of the people have said it's middle of the road.
Yeah.
Like, not great, not terrible. You know, it's good, but, and then I've had, you know, and then I've seen people with the extreme views of, like, this is great, y'all just hating. And I've seen but that's mostly come from, like, people that really just have an agenda for the movie. And then I've seen a few, like, it's the worst movie of all time from people that obviously have an agenda against the movie as well. But for me personally, man, as someone who did see Fences and saw Hidden Figures, those movies were really fucking good.
Yeah.
Like, critically acclaimed, Oscar-worthy good. It's going to be difficult to dethrone them with just any old effort. And, you know, it would have taken, if Birth of a Nation would have had to be like a top 10 movie of the year, period, to beat those movies. That's before you just, you know, get to the NAACP. I mean, wait, NCAA, wait. NAACP. I'm like, wait a minute. What are we talking about, sports here? Yeah, but that's before you even get to just the fact that you're going to narrow it down to mostly things that consider blackness. So once you narrow it down, like, is there another black project better than those two movies? And then you got to throw in Moonlight.
Yeah.
It just wasn't the year to say this was all we got. And a lot of the arguments that came from the "this is all we got" camp were just people who, for the most part, sadly, wouldn't support the other black films. So they wouldn't go see Moonlight. Yeah. They didn't want to see a movie about hidden wenches. They didn't want to see Fences. They wanted to see a specific type of experience on the screen helmed by this, you know, black man who, you know, they thought had a lot in common with their views. Mm-hmm. And they felt that the things that he had ultimately been accused of, whether it was a rape or whether it's just his homophobia, those were things they can identify with on some level. So they thought they were excusable. So to me, I'm not shocked, but I'm only not shocked because, not that I'm not shocked. I'm not surprised that it wasn't a winner at the award show, but also because the quality of the films are good. In addition to, I don't think it's possible to separate the criticism of Nate Parker from the Nat Turner movie.
Yeah, you know what? One of the things that, like, it was kind of, I can't say I'm surprised, but at the same time, it's still disappointing. Well, like, say a movie like Hidden Figures, where, you know, folks were looking for, like, you know, folks were kind of looking for that detraction, right? So, you know, after the movie comes out and then you start hearing about, well, the white savior aspects of the movie, or the fact that we didn't hear about these women. I knew nothing about these women growing up, man. Like, nobody actually talked about this during Black History Month. We didn't get the buttons passed out with, you know, with their names and their photos on them during those times, man. Nobody talked to us about this. And, you know, judging from, like, who the criticism was coming from, it was kind of easily, you know, I guess for me to kind of dismiss it. So, like, say, for instance, someone like a Tariq Nasheed, who would suggest that Hidden Figures was actually piggybacking off of his Hidden Colors series, when the movie is based on a book that came out a full year before his series was ever even a thing. Like, it's this weird, like, kind of seeing how that, you know, like, I guess Hotep niggas is Hotepping. There's really no other way to explain it. Just Hotep niggas Hotepping, where, like, you couldn't even see a story about black women being presented to the world, because a lot of us did not see this or did not know about this prior to, and still finding a way to shit on it and being mad that folks couldn't embrace The Birth of a Nation because of the politics surrounding Nate Parker and everything surrounding what he was going through at the time.
Yeah, and really sad, because, like, his you know, with the Hotep dudes, their logic doesn't even have to make sense. There's no scrutiny put upon the fact that, hey, you guys, you know, it's actually theoretically impossible that this movie is in any way related to what you've done.
Right.
But it just doesn't matter, because they're fans. As long as it's something way to knock black women, their fans are like, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, man. And you know what? Another thing, too, because this was another series. I didn't speak on this before, but, like, this was another, it was another thing during the Image Awards. Blackish won big at the Image Awards, too, man. They won for, like, the best comedy series. They won, Anthony Anderson won for the best actor in a comedy series. Tracee Ellis Ross won for best actress in a comedy series. Like, and I remember when that show first came out, how folks were kind of lukewarm just to the title of it, as opposed to just, like, actually just giving that show a chance.
Mm-hmm. I know I was.
You was mad at that?
Yeah, I was one of people. Me and Roger had a long conversation. I think we even talked about it on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, it's just one of those things where a lot of times when you hear certain things, and I didn't know who made it. Like, then Roger told me who made it and all that stuff. I was like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
But then it might not be that bad. I was like, but let me watch. Then yeah. I watched it. I was like, oh, okay. Because the thing is, for me, I heard Blackish. I was like, okay, some white folks writing some bullshit and calling it Blackish. I am out.
Right.
Like, that's what my mind immediately went. Don't be coming over here whitewashing something or calling it that just to have niggas watch and then make us mad. Like, so, you know, because honestly, and it's almost like a defense I can speak for myself as defense mechanism, because a lot of times I don't trust white Hollywood and the way they do things. You don't have my trust in most situations when it comes to blackness and black things. So I'm always under the assumption that you're going to fuck it up or do the worst until you prove otherwise. You don't get a benefit of the doubt from me.
Yeah, I was all on board. As soon as I heard the announcement of who was starring in it and the fact that Larry Wilmore was a showrunner, I was like, I can't imagine this being some coon shit. Right. And I was right, man. That shit was beautiful. It was great. It was one of the best shows on TV. I'm not surprised that it's sweeping all the awards. And it kind of fills that space where the Cosby Show used to be.
Right.
It's a little less respectability politics than the Cosby Show. Obviously, they try to present like more than one point of view, but the wholesome family dynamic where they're not really worried about the rent and whatnot, right. But at the same time, they're not running away from issues of race. I think it's one of those shows where your family can sit down and people have those special episodes where they can, you know, be like, oh, this episode about the N-word or this episode about Obama. Like, this is like, these are meaningful, impactful things that resonate with all of Black America.
Right. This episode about protesting and things like that. And why do you feel a certain way about certain things? And the thing about it, people can say what they want to. I know the Cosby Show is some people's favorite shit. But let's just keep it real. At the end of the day, Bill Cosby did not go near or did not touch any political whatsoever. Like, it didn't come across. You didn't have no special episode about one of the children possibly being arrested, one of the children possibly with racism. You didn't have a special episode with let's talk about sex. You know, I know he was a doctor and women came and gave birth, but there was no special episode kind of centered around those things. It's like, yeah, you are a black, and I know for some people Bill Cosby was their life experience, so I'm not knocking that, but at the same time, television and stuff has grown to the point where you can touch and broach these topics, and it's all blackness, and you don't have to always be politically correct.
Well, that's why his show and him got labeled as America's Dad, because for white people, for you to be America's Dad, you have to be completely non-black, non-racial, like, you can't have an episode about race. You can't, you know, when you want to have a child added to the roster because everybody's getting too old, you know, you add Olivia, but you never really talk about how Olivia came into the family.
Right.
You know, you don't talk about, you know, there's no episode about where, you know, what's up with her dad and all that kind of stuff. Like, they just leave stuff out. You know, I think they added, was her name Pam? They added another character later on, and, you know, she obviously must have came. She was supposed to come from like some type of rough background and all this,
but there's never
a discussion on it, because it was like kind of antithetical to what a lot of black life is, where we talk about race, we talk about how things are affecting us and politically, we talk about the dynamics within our home. It was more of escapism, which is totally fine, So when I say Blackish feels that lane, I don't mean totally like it's trying to be the Cosby Show. Mm-hmm. It just feels that like everybody in your family can watch it, from the older generation to the younger generation. And I think in many ways the storylines are better because they actually do talk about things that real black families talk about. Like, the Cosbys were almost like a safe place to go because they didn't talk about what black families talked about. So if you didn't feel like talking about race and all that shit, you can just go there. Yeah. This is the opposite, but I still feel like it's a really safe, you know, a nice feeling to see that show.
And not only that, man, I think a lot of, like, so many of the episodes are rooted in the things that we're talking about right now. It's like those pull from the headlines kind of episodes where it's like, these are the things that we're currently dealing with, and they're able to pull those, you know, these world stories into the show and still bring some comedy to it, still bring levity to the situation. But it's like, yo, these are things that we are currently concerned about right now. And to be able to mesh all of that together, man, I think they've done a masterful job of it. And so Black-ish, man, they killing the game, man. But not only Black-ish, but Hidden Figures, great movie, and Fences as well, great movie, man. So all of the accolades that they've gotten up to this point are well-deserved. Hopefully they will walk away with those Oscars as they should, man, real talk. Moving on, though, man. Somebody else then decided to step in front of a bullet for Donald Trump, yo. And I don't know why they continue to do this. Donnie McClurkin. Donnie McClurkin is out here saying that we should stop protesting Donald Trump and we should start praying for Donald Trump. This is coming from thegrio.com. Donnie McClurkin said, "We need to know what our vote really means and how to utilize it, but I don't want us to get caught up in this protest." McClurkin insisted on Get Up Mornings with Erica Campbell. Erica Campbell being the sister of Tina Campbell, who also came out with a open letter extolling her support for Donald Trump. He says the protests do nothing but rile people up. It causes people's anger to rise up and it gives us a false sense of involvement. Okay. The disappointing thing in a lot of this, when you start seeing so many of these church folks come out talking about, you know, how much we should pray for Donald Trump, how we should stop protesting Donald Trump, how we should give Donald Trump a chance and all these things, man. It's like, it's almost as if they forgot that the church was used to be the base for where a lot of Black resistance stemmed. Like, that's where we used to go to organize against injustices coming from the state. And so to see so many of these, you know, like, not just gospel artists, but even some of these pastors, man, like you got Brian Pumper. Everybody's calling that dude Brian Pumper.
Yeah, that dude, priest or pastor.
Yeah, it was another pastor right out of Detroit. His church sits right in the hood. He was right by Donald Trump's side at the inauguration. He invited Donald Trump to his church in the middle of Detroit, and most of those people in that neighborhood have been protesting him ever since. But the thing is like they're asking folks to just go along to get along, and I don't think they understand that, like, yo, this is a different kind of dude, and folks are going to fight this until they can anymore.
Yeah, it's weird because, like, there's Black people that are just contrarians. Like, they, like, if 99% of Black people don't fuck with something, they have to be the one to get all the attention for going over there fucking with it. Mm-hmm. And trying to paint that as I'm the most not sheep and y'all are the sheep, even though they've had this pattern their whole lives. And at some point it's like, well, aren't you following the same fucking pattern as just doing whatever the white man wants you to do? So you have those people, and then you all, and so in a lot of cases you have people that are heavy respectability politics essentially fuck with Trump. And I think it, for a lot of reasons, you know, whether it's the respectability politics of a Steve Harvey type dude that wants everybody to pull their pants up and put on a suit in the hood and that'll fix everything, or whether it's even the respectability politics of like a Jim Brown where he thinks niggas need to just act right and that'll fix all the problems and shit like that. Like, there's always somebody going against the grain. Kanye West goes over there.
Yeah.
But one of the things that's been interesting is with the change in administration, there's been a lot of Black Christians who stepped in front of the bullet, which is sad to me because the Black church, you know, people wonder why Black people don't go to church as much as they used to and what changed. The Black church used to be an organization for resistance and revolution.
Yeah.
It used to be an organization for organizing. You know, the boycotts would be organized via the church. You would have, sit-ins. You meet via the church. The leaders of the church used to be the leaders of Black revolution and resistance and protest. You know, the Reverend Al Sharpton, the Reverend Jesse Jackson, the Reverend Martin Luther King. That has changed in my lifetime. You know, specifically, you know, I can understand why a lot of it will happen because obviously the patriarchy of just religion would be a problem, as so many Black women who've had roles in the resistance have been marginalized and pushed to the side and forgotten by time and history because the way church is set up, men are the leaders and get all the credit and women do all the work. Nice. But more important, like even in addition to that, you have churches now that they're not part of the resistance. They're part of the norm. They want Donald Trump in power because Donald Trump hates gay people as much as they hate gay mm-hmm. people. Yeah, they want Donald Trump in power because he's going to get rid of Planned Parenthood, and they've been preaching for years that abortion is murder and Planned Parenthood is killing all the black babies, regardless of the fact that that's not true. They don't care. You know, the being anti Muslim and anti-immigrant is something that many churches pride themselves on, that xenophobia. They feel like my religion is winning when the other religion is suffering, and that is such a disservice to what people claim Jesus Christ is supposed to represent about inclusion and love and all that. Instead, you just have a bunch of people who are selfish and hateful and bigoted, and they hide behind the Bible and behind the words of Jesus as if that was what he was representing, and they use religion to organize their hate. And it's specifically worse when black people do it, because the black church was a church of revolution. So unlike the white church, which was completely a church of oppression at all times in the United States, you have a church that was dedicated to giving people that had no voice a voice, giving people who didn't have a place to organize a place to organize. And now you have to have this shit take place on like Twitter and social media because the church is so dead inside and the people that run it are so dead and evil inside that you end up with, you know, people like this in the pulpit who, and it's not just him, it's a lot of prominent black Christians who are on the, we need to work with Trump. Why would I want him to fail? Despite the fact that the goals that he has that define success for him are completely antithetical to the things that they claim to represent. He's a bigot. He wants national stop and frisk. He wants to persecute Muslims. He wants to stop immigration. He wants to send people out of this country. He wants to get rid of Planned Parenthood. He wants to fuck up the whole school system. All these things are ideals that, you know, you're supposed to have in mind when you talk about uplifting our society. He wants to do the opposite of that. And you over here praying like success for this man like a motherfucking coon, dog. So yeah. I can't respect them, and I have, you know, and I can't understand why they would do this, because it's not even a money thing. They're not getting money. Donnie McClurkin's not seeing a dime from Donald Trump.
Yeah.
He's not, the people in his congregation aren't filling up the pews to hear him talk about how great Donald Trump is. Black people didn't vote for this man.
Right.
So this is something he spiritually feels connected to. He feels pathologically connected to the mentality of a Donald Trump administration. And for any black person that is trying to provide cover for them, shame on you. And I hope you reap what you sow.
Indeed, man. And that's one of the things I think a lot of folks don't necessarily understand, is that like, the church is, like, the black church is rather conservative. When, if you wanted to look for any conservative black folks, you would go to the church to go find them. A lot of the times, the messaging coming out of the church is rooted in the respectability politics, like to pull your pants up, you know, talk a certain way, present yourself a certain way, and I want to say it's disappointing, but it can't be disappointing if you keep expecting it from these folks. You know what I mean? Like, I can't be disappointed because I've seen this over and over and over again. It's like, now I expect this from you. So yet another example of somebody else deciding to step in front of a bullet for somebody who really doesn't give a damn about you. Let's be clear about it. Donald Trump doesn't give a damn about Donnie McClurkin. He doesn't give a damn about Tina Campbell. He doesn't give a damn about what's that other guy, Travis Green. He doesn't care anything about any of these folks, and yet they continuously step in front of these bullets for him at the sake of their own, you know, at the sake of their own success and for the sake of their own people. This is like, why do you continue to do it?
Yeah, I mean, the government killed Jesus, like the man y'all worship.
Come on, man.
Y'all are lining up like fucking sheep to die for this dude that hates you. I don't understand. Stop telling me and other black people to give chance. Just because something is unpopular doesn't make you a martyr. And that's what a lot of these people have confused themselves with, is I say the unpopular thing, and the way I'm treated justifies that I'm some sort of martyr. I must be right because nobody likes what I'm saying. When it's like, no, you're just saying the wrong shit to people and people disagree, and then you take your martyr complex as some sort of validation when it's not.
Yeah, and also, what people better realize, a lot of these Christian organizations fail to realize America was started on the right foot, like because of religious persecution. So a lot of your religious persecution, Donald Trump wants to take it away. He's starting with Muslims to make you feel better. But don't think eventually he's going to take away your right to pray in your sanctuary, your right to worship in your sanctuary, your right to do these things that you deem a freedom here in our country. A lot of people better realize it starts down four blocks away from you, but eventually the shit going to hit your block too. So instead of you going four blocks up the street and protesting with them people, you ignore the shit, and then when it get to your block, there's nobody there to support you because everybody else then got beat up, arrested, drug out, and or silenced.
Yeah, and you know what? That's why I have very little patience for a lot of these. Like, I've been seeing a lot lately about what, like, you know, Muslims, you know, they don't give a damn about us, man. Why y'all stepping in front, you know, talking about this Muslim ban like these people care about us? Or why y'all care about these Mexicans, man? These Mexicans coming over here taking jobs away from us, and you over here advocating for them to come over here. Like, what's wrong with you? And it's like, yo, man, like, you don't understand. Like, this shit goes in waves. It don't just stop at the targeted group at that particular point in time. Eventually, that shit will roll over to your ass. And if you don't speak up, and if you don't raise hell and make sure that everybody knows that this shit isn't cool, then eventually, yeah, it's going to be cool when it comes around to you too, and then you're going to be wondering why ain't nobody said shit. It just...
Yeah, man, a lot of people just don't care, man. That's the only way I can take it, is just these people don't care. They think that they're saying something really deep when they're really saying some just contrarian stupid shit that everybody's already thought about but realized was stupid and we didn't say it. But they think that they stumbled upon some new shit.
Right. And also, when particularly black people say this, don't you know if they are black Mexican, black Muslims? Like, you are really talking about your own people when you don't want to support LGBTQ. There are blacks that fall within these groups.
Well, there's black women. They know women. I mean, they don't care. That's what I'm trying to tell people, is they just don't care. And so nothing's going to reach them. None of these people... The only thing that'll bother these people is if somebody stops supporting them within their community. And unfortunately, Christians haven't shown a backbone enough to stop supporting these kind of people. Like, you know, like keeping it funky, like when it's a Muslim person that is spitting a bunch of hate, we expect Muslim people to ostracize them from their community and make sure that person doesn't represent the mainstream views of their religion. You know, even with certain white sects, when there's a hateful ass pastor or something, we expect that person to be kicked out of that community and to have their hateful views, you know, like, you know, that church that with the guy hates fag signs, we expect them to have, like, you can't make them not exist, but you can make sure that they're not welcome everywhere. Black people are not taking that responsibility very seriously because we still tolerate a lot of hate, and we don't see even though we've felt oppression, we don't see the oppression we do as something that should be ostracized and kicked out of the community.
Right.
We think the oppression that we do is a right that we should have the way that white people have it. Like, we think we should just do what we can to be treated as white people are treated, which is not the real solution, in my opinion, for solving racial equality and all kinds of other injustices. It can't be to model after white people, but yet that is what I think a big swath of black people want, is I just want white privilege, but for a black person, basically.
Right.
That's pretty much the HOTEP movement in a nutshell. Like, yeah. a lot of it is really just like, yo, I don't give a damn about women's rights. I don't give a damn about gay rights. I don't give a damn about black women's rights. Like, if so long as I get to trade places or be equal to this white man and his ability to disenfranchise and discriminate against others, then I'm cool with that. And that's where a lot of these niggas with their HOTEP logic, man, that's where they are with it. They are cool with being able to shit on others so long as they are at the top of the hill with those white dudes. That's it.
Yep.
So, yeah, man, that's going on. But we got another amazing motherfucking story that kind of happened over the course of the week, man. And this happened in Dearborn, Michigan. And apparently it is okay. It is okay for white men to show up at the police station with body armor, mask, and rifles and walk away to tell the story. Right? So this happened in Dearborn, Michigan. Let me see if I can pull this up. Yeah, we got a story. This came out of Dearborn, Michigan. These guys call themselves open carry gun advocates. And they've already been disavowed by most open carry gun advocates here in Michigan. But this happened in Dearborn, Michigan, which is not too far from where I live. And I'm going to just play this story so you guys can hear for yourself. Check this out.
A masked man armed with a loaded rifle and his friend carrying a video camera confront police in Dearborn.
He streamed the encounter live on Facebook, telling viewers they had to protect themselves after being pulled over.
But the chief of police is calling their stunt irresponsible. Fox 2's Amy Lang is live now with the latest. Amy.
Well, the chief releasing a statement today saying that this isn't even a Second Amendment issue for him. This was about the safety of his officers and the general public. People were inside the lobby when this all went down.
We're here outside Dearborn Police Station. We're going to go in and file a complaint because we were illegally pulled over about an hour ago.
24-year-old James Baker and his sidekick on Facebook Live Sunday afternoon heading into the Dearborn Police Department with cameras, Kevlar vests, masks, and guns.
We felt a little afraid for our lives when we were pulled over, so we figured we'd better protect ourselves.
The open carry advocates trying to make a point.
Dude, put that on the ground!
Instead, making what now appears to be a very poor decision.
I put that rifle on the ground.
Take it off your neck.
I will take it off.
Take it off your neck.
Take it off your neck.
What the hell's the matter with you?
Y'all calm down. Put it down.
Okay, now, very interesting thing about this here, right? Not even a month ago, this same police department gunned down a black lady leaving the Fairlane Mall in Dearborn, Michigan during a car chase. And they just released the video of that earlier this week as well. And on that video, you can hear them talking about, well, you just did what you had to do. And here you got these two white dudes walking to the department, guns at the ready, Kevlar vest on, mask on. And this isn't the first time they've done it. They've done this before. They actually did this in Oakland County Police Department last year. How, man? How? How the fuck is that possible? How are they living to tell this story? When we got John Crawford, who's in Walmart with a toy gun, get gunned down. We got Tamir Rice get gunned down in Cleveland, Ohio. We got Philando Castile, who was a legal gun owner, who was trying to inform a police officer that he had his weapon in the car, and they gunned him down in the car. These dudes said they felt like they were unfairly pulled over, so they went to the fucking police department to complain with weapons on them, body armor, and mask. How?
White people.
Yeah, whiteness and whiteness gone white. And it's just one of those things where I've just come to that conclusion when there's no other way to explain it, it's just whiteness gone white.
You know, one of the things I kinda wonder too, man, like as we kinda move into this Donald Trump presidency and all of these other things, man, do you guys kinda wonder or do you have any concerns with, say, for instance, maybe the Black Lives Matter movement not being as effective or as proactive as we had been before?
Well, for me, okay, because I've thought about this. Well, I've been federalized with this president taking over.
Mm-hmm.
He has surrounded himself with cabinets that give zero fucks about anything whiteness.
Yeah.
So a lot of states are making laws against protesting. So several states have passed laws that say give drivers the right to actually hit protesters with their vehicles now. A lot of them are actually putting more power in the hands of police officers. I think my thing with it, I don't think the protesters are going anywhere. I think that they're going to start actually targeting people that are heavy protesters, people that are in high positions, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. The government is already, you know, tracking them, but I think now they're going to start tracking them even the more their whereabouts, where they are, their employment, you know, and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, we've talked to people who are, you know, protesters and on organizations, and, you know, they've said that they know they're being tracked. They said that they have plans where if shit don't go right, to actually leave the country. Like, you know, they're willing to die, you know, because it's to the point now when it comes to fighting for marginalized people with the president that we have now, you really have got to be willing to lay your life down on the line. If not, you're not going to last long, because it's almost like they're going to make you pay and they're going to make you suffer for talking about anything other than whiteness. The second you make white people feel uncomfortable, the second you make white people scared, the second you make white people have to think, or you make them have to change anything about their everyday life, they're here to shut that shit down. So I do not think it's going to go away. I just think the government is going to have a tighter grasp. I think the government is going to come down harder. I think the government also going to start throwing more of them in jail, start penalizing, mm-hmm. start doing things like that. Like because it's pushing that way. But at the end of the day, what about the emails? The right.
Right.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, man.
It's like I watched that and it was just like, and it made me think. But it was I believe it was a United States senator who just came out, and they were asking him about, you know, with Donald Trump and like the various numbers of, he came out with that list of, even when he's talking about the terrorist attacks that the media supposedly didn't cover when most of them they had covered. And one of these senators came out and was like, well, when it comes to white terrorism, those are just one-off things, you know, like, oh, that was different. Like, that ain't the same thing as like Islamic terrorism. Like, that was different. When these white people do stuff, it's just these one lone wolf kind of incidents where they don't believe that it's tied to any sort of movement, when we know better. But it's just weird to watch this whole thing play out, man. All right, let's move on to something a little bit more humorous. And right now we are going to the special HOTEP unit in the black community. Pseudo-consciously based offenses are considered especially heinous. In the Yonk Right, the dedicated misogynists who perpetuate frauds are members of an elite squad known as a special HOTEP unit. These are their stories. All right.
That always makes me laugh because I listen at work, y'all. So I always get a kick out of it, especially when I hear the thing like we about to go to trial.
Oh, man. That shit is greatness, man. But today's episode of the Special HOTEP Unit, we featuring Dr. Umar Johnson today, man. Now, Umar Johnson, you guys know Umar Johnson. We've talked about Umar Johnson quite a bit. Umar Johnson went and got himself like a wig job, man. Like, Umar out here, last time we saw Umar, he had the Phillies cap with the ball on the top of it. Now we see Umar with the Frederick Douglass special.
No. Mm-hmm. Oh no.
Umar Johnson.
Yeah, he got that number 12 Yaki.
Oh man. Now, you know, this is one of those instances where it's like, yo, bro, you trying way too fucking hard, man. Especially with, like, Umar Johnson claims to be a direct descendant of Frederick Douglass, right? The family of the direct descendants of Frederick Douglass is like, nah, we don't know this nigga. But he continues to insist upon his Frederick Douglassness, and this is the latest example of that with this weave that he didn't got put in his head. Now, I wonder, does this count against his HOTEPness? because we know how they feel about the effeminate, you know, the emasculation of the black man, the feminizing of the black man. Is this one of those instances where he has been feminized? What say you, Rod and Karen?
I gotta say, he definitely being feminized. Okay. He is not. Yeah. See, that's what they get you, man. They got you dressing up in these weeds around here.
You need, we need some type of coon. Hotel music. You know, him and Justin got.
They can't hear it through Skype. They can't hear it through Skype. But I would play it, but they got you walking around in these weeds. Next thing you know, they're gonna have the Honorable Dr. Umar Johnson walking around in a skirt. And some capri pants, talking about I'm Frederica Douglass. Okay, that's what they. Yeah, that's how it starts.
No, you are gonna have a dashiki skirt on, man. It's got to be a dashiki skirt.
It's gonna be a dashiki skirt. It's gonna be a full length dashiki dress, and he gonna be walking around talking about this what Frederick Douglass wore, and he gonna have his hair in cornrows and stuff like that, man. This is what happens when you are out there on the internet too much. Arguing with other men about how you look and who need to lose much weight and what kind of skin tone they got and how much makeup they got on. This is what happens when you go out there doing that stuff. So, I can't even be surprised at the brother, to be honest. And I won't be shocked when Frederick Douglass turns into a one-man play about Frederica Douglass, the transgender rights activist. Of Dr. Umar's time.
Yeah, man. This dude, man, like
yep. What's wrong with you?
Oh shit.
I just like when men are men, Karen. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Men should be men, and they should walk around taking pictures while they still in the salon of their weave hair.
Cause you gotta understand, I'm melanated, bitch. You gotta understand that.
You look in the mirror, what do you see? A cracker.
Oh, shit, man. Oh, man. Okay, so that's good. You know what? I had this other cat, man, that I wanted to also include on the special Hotep unit, but I'm going to save his ass for Thursday because this dude, I've had him on the show before, but like he got, it's a whole long-ass video, and you guys can't see the video because I'm looking at my YouTube thing right now, and for whatever reason, like, it's not even showing our video right now, so we just kind of like rolling along. But we gonna move on to our ass hat of the week.
Yo, we got some hats now, motherfuckers.
And today's ass hat of the week is unfortunately Cheryl Underwood gets our ass hat of the week this week here at the Span Report. And I know some folks will ask me why is Cheryl Underwood the ass hat of the week this week. And one of the reasons I decided to go with Cheryl Underwood this week, man, is, of course, you guys know, George Lopez kind of has been in the news because of the way he handled a heckler at one of his comedy shows, where he stopped, went out of his way, called that lady a bitch, told her to get out, you know, get up, get out, and everything else. And Cheryl Underwood, being a comedian, kind of felt like, you know, this is something that wasn't above the, you know, it wasn't be up, you know, below the pale. Like, this is something that happens, you know, this is how you deal with hecklers. Had she did that at my show, I probably would have told her the same thing. And I'm seeing, you know, quite a few people say that, like, yo, she shouldn't have dealt what she did. She deserved what she got. And my thing is, like, yo, George Lopez fucked up. And I'm seeing way too many people jumping up to the defense of George Lopez in this particular instance, where they wouldn't be so defensive of him had that been someone they know who was the victim of what George Lopez did. And it's one of those instances where I kind of feel like here's another instance where somebody black has to go up and vouch for somebody else in a way where, like, yo, they're not racist because I'm friends with them. They're not racist. They're cool. Like, I would have done the same thing. You don't have to step out in front of these bullets all the time. You don't have to defend them when they fuck up all the time. Sometimes let them absorb their fuck up and they can learn from it. But far too many times, I think we defend folks in their fuck ups and they never get a chance to learn from it. And for me, Cheryl Underwood kind of stepped up in front of that when she really didn't have to.
Right.
So Cheryl Underwood, you are the asset of the week here at the Spare Report this week.
Yo, we got some hats now, motherfuckers.
But we do have a champ. All right, today's champ of the week this week here at the Spare Report Podcast is Martellus Bennett. But not only Martellus Bennett, but the other six New England Patriots players who decided that they don't want to go to the White House to visit with Donald Trump after winning the Super Bowl. And one of the things that I was thinking about, even before the Super Bowl, man, because I'm not a New England Patriots fan, never really liked the Patriots, but I did kind of wonder what the attitudes of some of those players, some of the black players who played for the Patriots, what their attitudes were concerning the connection that the team had with Donald Trump throughout this whole thing. Because even the Super Bowl became like this microcosm of, okay, a lot of folks were rooting for the Falcons because they were like, yo, the Patriots is associated with Trump, so fuck them. And I was wondering, even before the game, like, I wonder how a lot of these players felt with their team being so closely associated with Trump. And it's amazing to watch the double standard when it came to who visits the White House and who doesn't. Because Tom Brady, as we know, decided that he didn't want to go to the White House when they won, when Barack Obama was the president. Decided that he had family commitments, whatever the fuck that means. And then it turned into the backlash that a lot of these black players were getting because they decided that they did not want to go to visit with Donald Trump. Even Nelly, man. Nelly spoke up on, what was it, the Undefeated, whatever show that is, with Shannon Sharpe and Skip Bayless, where they were talking about maybe even having a vote as to whether or not these guys go to the White House or not. I applaud Martellus Bennett and the rest of those guys, man. Who was that? Devin McCourty, LeGarrette Blount, Alan Branch, Dante Hightower, and Chris Long. All of these dudes have kind of stepped up to say, like, yo, man, we don't fuck with that guy, and we're not going to see that guy. And I applaud them for standing up on their principles for that. But question I got for you guys is, do you think that Martellus Bennett maybe put some of his other teammates on notice when he decided and so publicly decided that he wasn't going to go, and he made them feel like they were obligated not to go as well?
I don't think he did. I think what put it on notice is the presidency of this dude.
Right.
Like, this is not like Obama.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. You know, like, to be honest, people that don't fuck with Obama, they never really felt comfortable explaining why they didn't. You know, like, a lot of people that, as far as, like, you know, these guys who were like, I ain't going to the White House, they didn't come out and say why.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. You know, because
and
they
quarterback didn't go.
No, that's what I'm saying. When he didn't go, there was no come explain your reasons.
Right.
He just didn't go.
Right.
You know, and it's interesting to see how people switch on their polarity on who needs to explain what now, why people should just go and respect the office. They didn't say that. Because Tom Brady was a lot of people's golden boy. And since he didn't go, I honestly, this is how wild it is, I didn't know he didn't go.
Me either. Mm.
That's what's amazing. I knew James Harrison didn't go to the White House.
Yeah.
I didn't know Tom Brady didn't go to the White House. And I think they won two Super Bowls at least while Obama was in office. That wasn't news. No one brought it up. No one asked him about it. He had a Make America Great Again hat in his locker. No one asked him about that. So I think people were put on notice about this shit in visiting the White House. And they were really told that it was possible to opt out by Tom Brady.
Yeah.
Like these same players, his teammates definitely knew. And that organization definitely knew. And I guarantee the players are like, I'm going to play my hardest. I'm going to try to win. I want to get a good contract. All that stuff. I want to win the Super Bowl. But when it comes to the White House, if I ain't got to go, I ain't going. And he ain't have to go, so y'all can't make me go.
Right.
And that's just what it is, man. I appreciate those brothers. And I appreciate Chris Long too, because and I'm not trying to say this as an ally cookie type thing, but I do think it's a reality that in our hesitancy to like try to applaud white people for just doing basic human shit, sometimes it goes overboard. But I really do appreciate Chris Long not going, because as a white dude, there, like, you don't have, like, not all white dudes need were on board with Trump, but more importantly, many who weren't are silent,
right?
And because they don't want to stick out, so they'll be like, I vote Democrat, but I still consort with a lot of people that voted for Trump. That group voted for him en masse. So to see a person that's like, yeah, I'm not doing it. You know, I'm sure his dad's like, you need to do that shit. I'm sure there's all kinds of pressure organizationally for him to do it. Because this like, white people can understand when black people are like, fuck Trump. Like, for the most part, they're not going to try to correct you. But when a white person does it, they're like, but what do you have in common with any of these people? You're a man. You don't, you know, you're rich. You don't. So I actually appreciate that. Like, that was the only one that surprised me, was like, oh, wow, okay.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I guess Chris Long must be about that life. I don't know. But it's funny because in a large way, Brady is giving cover to these dudes, because the media that was complicit in saying you don't have to ask Tom Brady about Trump, they better feel the same fucking way about these dudes.
Yeah.
I'm trying to tell you right now, you better not ask me, and my organization better not come out their mouth and say a motherfucking thing sideways. Because if you do, I take my black ass to the media and say, well, Tom Brady didn't go. He was not chastised.
Yeah, and Tom Brady, not just that. I'm talking about now. Trump is in office. Tom Brady called him on the phone. When you ask Tom Brady about it, he basically treats it like, why y'all asking me about that? It has nothing to do with football. Mm-hmm. So now to see these same, like, people try to take a different tact of like, well, see, it's different. They need to take a vote. They need to have a discussion. No, you didn't feel that way at all when Tom Brady didn't go.
Right.
You didn't feel that way at all when Tom Brady had that hat. You didn't feel that way even during Super Bowl week when they asked Tom Brady about this shit. You just kept feeling like, why y'all bringing up politics? He's just a football player. Well, now you got six people that are just football players that just happen to be busy that weekend.
Yeah, man. It's like it kind of juxtaposes itself when we saw how vitriolic people were towards Colin Kaepernick earlier in the year, when he wasn't saying anything. He was minding his own fucking business, and then it became a big thing because folks asked him about it. And then with Tom Brady, he had the Make America Great Again hat in his locker room. He was making a statement with the hat by itself, and he shut that shit down. There was no weeks-long discussion about what his political leanings were. There was no weeks-long discussion as to whether or not his association with Trump was appropriate or not, whether or not he's less of an athlete or a patriot to the country because of his association with Donald Trump. You didn't get any of that shit concerning Tom Brady, man. So, like I said, with these six individuals, man, I'm not even a fan of the Patriots, but I'm rocking with these dudes, and that's why they are the champ of the week this week here at the Span Report, man. Real talk. But I got to say thank y'all, man, for coming through. Got to say thank y'all for coming through, man. It's always a pleasure to have you guys on, man. Before we get out of here, let the people know how they can get in touch with you guys over at the Black Guy Who Tips.
They can get in touch with us. You can find everything about us at theblackguywhotips.com. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, or any podcaster. You can find us on social media at TBGWT. You can find Rod on Twitter at Rodimus Prime. You can find me on Twitter at Say That Again. And we're on other social media platforms underneath those same names. We thank you very much, Mrs. Pan.
No, thank you guys again for coming on, man. It's always a pleasure. Like I said, your favorite podcast is favorite podcast right there, man, with the Black Guy Who Tips, man. Real talk. Before I get out of here, of course, I got to remind you guys how to get in touch with me here at the Span Report. Let your voice be heard. Hit me up at the hotline, area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave those voicemails or call in live when I open those phone lines up on that number. Also, email is feedback@thespanreport.com, so go ahead and leave those emails. Twitter and Instagram, my name on both of those platforms is Mr_Span, so go ahead and follow me there. Check out the show live on YouTube, man. YouTube, the The Span Report is the channel, so go ahead and subscribe to the show there. You can catch these shows live and participate in the chat room. And for all of your Span Report needs, go to thespanreport.com, www.thespanreport.com. The polls are there. You can leave comments there. You can donate to the show there. As a matter of fact, the all-time hood movie playoffs, man, we're going into the round of four. Get your votes in, because we're going to find out what's the final four come Thursday's show. So go ahead and vote in that poll, and we'll get down to the final four of the greatest hood movies of all time, right? So let's go ahead and do that, man. But, yeah, man, I appreciate Rod and Karen for joining me here, and I appreciate you guys for watching and listening. And until next time, fam, peace.
Peace.